You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Fired up today too.
Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate. That's how we do. Sometimes you gotta stay and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we
is. It's gonna be a good day in the house.
Welcome to my house, baby, take control now.
So I'm sure you're asking, like, all right, Max, so why are you excited? First of all, the Yankees, in one of the stupidest moves I've ever seen in baseball. You know when smart guys start explaining shit to you, and you look at them and you're like, you're so smart, you're stupid, okay? Justin Verlander strikes out 14 Yankees, games nothing-nothing going into the ninth. Verlander's thrown 116 pitches, so he's done. Bring in the relief pitcher, a guy named Giles. Aaron Judge, base hit, leading off the inning. Next hitter, Didi Gregorius, double. Runners at second, third, nobody out. They pitch to the reigning National League MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, who couldn't hit water right now. If he fell out of a boat, okay? He's brutal. So they pitch to him and they strike him out. The next guy coming up, his nickname is the Kraken, okay? From the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, that Kraken, that, yeah. And he's hit 3 home runs in the last 5 games. And so I'm watching this going, you're not going to, there's no way they're going to pitch to this guy. So they're going to walk him and pitch to the next hitter. Guy named Aaron Hicks. Okay. So there's a substantial drop off. What do they do? Big conference on the pitching mound. They say, we're going to pitch to him. And I'm watching going, yeah, I wouldn't do that. First pitch. So obviously, they're going to try to pitch around him, see if he'll chase something. First pitch, he hits it over the center field fence. I was sitting here working last night. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. When do really, really smart guys become stupid? Yeah, when shit like that happens. Anywho, yeah, old Max says, yeah, he could just go to first base because we're not pitching to him. So I was in a good mood because of that. But the real reason I'm in a good mood, I'm excited. You're going to hear an interview I recorded yesterday afternoon. With guys who've been on the program before. Ken Falk, a retired Navy EOD guy, had retired I want to say right around 2003. And so these wars break out. And so now Fox, you know, been involved in shit his whole life. Now this war is going on and he wants to do something. So starts the EOD Warrior Foundation, trying to help EOD Marines that, you know, obviously took the brunt of a lot of blasts as they, you know, disarmed IEDs throughout Afghanistan and Iraq. So he starts that. He then follows that with a place called Boulder Crest Retreats. If you haven't looked at it, if you haven't heard about it, you need to check it out. They deal with the root issues of trauma. Okay. So when you experience trauma in wartime, they deal with the root issues. The single biggest complaint you hear from veterans is I go to the VA, they hand me a bag of drugs, and they tell me to go to group therapy, right? And so I don't want to be medicated. I don't want to do the walking zombie thing. So what, you know, Boulder Crest was is what it is an alternate way of getting your hands around the issues that you deal with. And so had him on, I think Bob Nielsen, you know, introduced us, had him on. He told me, he said, hey, Mac, you ought to have my ops guy, a guy named Josh Goldberg on. So Josh is not a military guy. He got involved with Ken. He runs all the programs now. Good dude. So I had him on, you know, and so if you get a chance, you know, write that on your list of things I should listen to. All right. Falk, F-A-L-K-E, Ken, right? And Goldberg, Josh, G-O-L-D-B-E-R-G. Okay, so if you listen to those things, you'll hear what Boulder Crest Retreat is about and how they do it, which is very cool. So non-medicated ways of people getting their hands around the issues that develop subsequent to trauma. Okay, all with an eye towards another term, post-traumatic growth. Okay. Now, and so they have a new book out called Struggling Well, Thriving in the Aftermath of Trauma. Okay. It is available for 99 cents on Amazon right now. You should buy it, and you should send that link to everybody that you know that's been impacted by trauma. So if you're a veteran, caregivers, family members, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, right? And then veterans themselves, 99 cents. Okay. I'm just going to read a few of the comments from people that wrote on it for the book. All right. Struggling Well is innovative, brilliant, and important, and it works. Admiral Eric Olson, United States Special Operations Command. Okay. In these stories, readers will find pathways toward their own transformation. Dr. Richard Tedeschi, PhD, professor of psychology, University of North Carolina, Charlotte. Okay, Tedeschi is the guy who coined the term post-traumatic growth. That guy, okay. And then one more real quick. This is from retired General Hugh Shelton, United States Army. He was the 14th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg address the attributes that make our military men and women absolutely remarkable and provide a roadmap for growing from the challenges we face. Okay, so let me extract some words out of those little blurbs that people wrote. All right? Tedeschi, readers will find pathways towards their own transformation. Significant. All right. Shelton, and provide a roadmap for growing. Okay, so what they seek to do is provide a blueprint or at least a way to transform trauma into growth. whoa, exactly, whoa, holy shit, right, that does not involve drugs. Okay, does not involve drugs. So, and again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with drugs. I'm just saying that the complaint I hear most often from veterans is when I go there, you know, I get a antidepressant, I get a sleep, I get a anti-anxiety drug. So I get those three right off the bat, and then whatever else I may be dealing with, they pile in there. Okay, so here you go. Here's your bag. And their complaint is, I don't want these drugs. I want to be the human being I used to be, but I know I got this stuff now. How do I use it? Like a lot of people have used it to live better lives. Okay? I'm not a victim, man. Nobody gave me this. I fought for what I got. Okay? So, in the spirit of that, can I talk to somebody that can help me get my hands around this shit? So I'm excited for you to hear the interview because the interviews, they're good. They're good at what they do. And they understand our tribe. They're a part of our tribe and they help our tribe. They just opened up a second facility. If you go to the website, Boulder Crest Retreats, you'll see what they do. Very cool. And they have programs for, caregivers. They have programs for couples. They have all kinds of, they have programs on top of programs on top of programs. Okay. So they got programs. So anyway, if you go to the website, you'll notice that they opened up a facility in Arizona. So they've been busy human beings, okay? Boulder Crest Retreats, all right? They got a place in Virginia, they've got a place in Arizona. Okay? So you can see when you log on, you can check out what they do. So very well done stuff. Yeah, you'll be impressed right away. And so anyway, and then if you click on programs, there's a Warrior Path program. And there's a family path program, couples path, caregiver path, you know, family R&R. You can sign up to just go. If you look at the place in Virginia, it's beautiful. You can go spend, you can go visit there once. Ken talked about how many days you can spend there. And, they do great stuff. So excited to, for you to hear the interview here in a little bit. The other thing I would tell you, and there's a funny part in the interview. At least I thought it was funny. Where Goldberg says, well, Mac, you're in the book. And I say, what? Because let me tell you things I know. When you're in a book and you don't know it, that's not a good thing. Okay? And I said, what do you mean I'm in a book? And so I was calling him Josh at that point, right? Now he's Goldberg. What do you mean I'm in the book, Goldberg? What are you talking about? And he says, remember like a year ago when I was on the program? And I said, yeah. He said, and you called me a pussy? I said, I don't think I'd say that. I would never say that. Do you have that on? Do you have a recording of that with a voice print? Making sure that it was me? He says, yes. So I said, so let me get this straight. I'm the villain now. Like I'm the villain. And he starts laughing. So yeah, nice. So I haven't got to that part of the book yet. Again, 99 cents on for the Kindle version, right? Like order it right now if you haven't so far. That's kind of stupid. So anyway, you'll hear that interview today. And as I said, I'm excited about that because you know what? Again, the mission of All Marine Radio is post-combat related mental health. Okay. It's, and the whole post-traumatic growth thing got onto my radar. So I think when you've seen the courage and selflessness that we have seen in combat, you never get over it. You never get over it. It's one of the defining events of your life. And you come back and you see guys committing suicide and struggling so much. And if you're a leader, it's just your instinct, man, to help, right? And if you're a battle buddy, it's your instinct to help. It's because it's what we do. It's our culture. And so this is no, this effort is no different. The post-traumatic growth thing, though, pops on my radar, I think, after All Marine Radio starts. And I hear Secretary Mattis, who was a civilian at the time, making remarks someplace, and he's talking about post-traumatic growth. And I'd never heard the term. I went, what? And so, and it kind of, when I heard it, and I heard his comments were, you know, people fought in World War II and came back and changed the world. The world we live in today is a world that they defined. The Bretton Woods Agreement that outlined how, you know, economies would interact with each other. The Marshall Plan that reconstituted Europe and defined Europe. You know, or the way we dealt with Japan. All the different things that happened post, you know, our back when we used to have real representatives that went to Washington, D.C., you know, they did things like the GI Bill where, you know, all these veterans coming home, millions of them were able to go to school and buy homes. And they changed the world. Okay, well, if they can do that, what's your excuse? Why can't you? Why is this a disability simply because you fought? Yeah, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, jackass. Now get to work. And so you hear that in your head, and you're like, But to me, it's almost like a competitive thing. If they can do it, you know, why can't we? What, are we different than they are? Were they better than we are? No and no. No and hell no. They weren't. Like, okay, Grandpa, I love you and all that, but you're not better than me. So kind of all that wrapped in your head, you start looking at, well, what is this concept of post-traumatic growth? And it's a concept of using that experience as a lever point to be better. How do you do that? Right? First of all, you got to understand, you know, get your hands around what happened to me? Why do I have this explosive anger now? You know? And how do I deal with it? What do I tell the people around me that say, I just want you to be the way you used to be? Yeah, Elvis left the building. That dude, he's here, but he's different, right? And I'm trying, I want to be that guy, but I don't know that I'm that guy anymore. I've changed a little bit, if that's okay. And you have to be, you know, so you have to be willing to learn all that. So anyway, so I'm excited for you. I'd be curious, and to buy the book and review the book. They need that, right? Because this is part of the good story of the spirit of human beings, in particular Americans, right? The healing spirit, okay? And if you look at their sites, they use that term, not healing spirit. They use healing heroes, one family at a time. And that's what they endeavor to do. So anyway, so what we want to do is export that message, export the message of Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg. So you'll hear that. The other reason I'm fired up today is Andrew Pollack back in the news. You remember him, right?
We're here because my daughter has no voice. She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us. Shot 9 times on the third floor. If we, as a country, failed our children, this shouldn't happen. We go to the airport. I can't get on a plane with a bottle of water, but we leave it. Some animal could walk into a school and shoot our children. It's just not right, and we need to come together as a country and work on what's important, and that's protecting our children in the schools. That's the only thing that matters right now. Everyone has to come together and not think about different laws. We need to come together as a country, not different parties, and figure out how we protect the schools. It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports. We protect concerts, stadiums, embassies. The Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened, because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed. And Mr. President, we're gonna fix it. Because I'm gonna fix it. I'm not gonna rest. And look at my boys need to live with this. I want to see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man, but to see your children go through this, bury their sister. So that's what I keep saying this, because I want it to sink in, not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings, it doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed, because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale at whatever it is, King David Cemetery. That's where I go to see my kid now. And it stops. We all work together and come up with the right idea, and it's school safety. Not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle. Let's fix the schools, and then you guys can battle it out whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew that, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous. It's enough. Let's get together, work with the president, and fix the schools. That's it. No other discussions. Security, whatever we have to do. Get the right people, the consultants. These are our commodities. I'm never going to see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. That's how. I want it to sink in. It's eternity. My beautiful daughter, I'm never going to see again. And it's simple. It's not, we could fix it.
You're listening to All Marine Radio. You're listening to All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So he was on, he's in the news yesterday. He's suing, and this makes me happy. He's suing the police officer who didn't respond. And he talked about, and he's on this commission in the state of Florida, to fix what's wrong in the schools in Florida. So, in the piece that I'm seeing, I don't know if I can find it, but if I can find it, I'll play it. He talks about his daughter, and that being on this commission, he's now seeing all the evidence. He said it's tough. He said this police officer, when the shooting started, was taken in a golf cart to the building that the shooting was going on. The shooter was on the first floor. His daughter's on the third floor. He didn't go inside. He stayed outside. When other police units respond, he told them that they should remain outside. Yeah. He told them they should remain outside. And then he talks about his daughter was shot, how his daughter was shot. He said, and he doesn't refer to the that guy by name. He refers to him by his inmate number, 8189 something. I can't remember what it is, but anyway, that's how he refers to him in this piece he did yesterday. And so he says he shot my daughter 4 times. And then she crawled over and she attempted to shield a friend who had been shot. He then walked up and shot her and the girl underneath her 5 more times. And he's talking about why he's suing them. So here's the audio.
One school shooting and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed because my daughter I'm not going to see again.
This is Andrew Pollack yesterday.
She's not here.
That was Andrew Pollack. Of course, you remember him, the father of Parkland shooting victim, Meadow Pollack. He's filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the former Broward sheriff, Deputy Scott Peterson. Andrew Pollack joins me right now. We did reach out, by the way, to Deputy Peterson's attorney. We did not hear back, although we did see that attorney was quoted elsewhere. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Mr. Pollack, thank you for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome.
How are you doing these days? How are you holding up?
It's not easy. It's brutal going, I'm on that commission, so I see a lot of the evidence coming in, and it's not easy handling it, but the unmeasurable love I have for my daughter is empowering me to fight for her, and that's what my daughter would want, and that's what I'm doing.
I could not believe when I looked into the details of Meadows' shooting, how multiple times she was shot, and was protecting another student who was also shot and killed. I cannot fathom it.
Well, the problem I have with it is this deputy was driven to that door on a golf cart, and at that time, I call the shooter 18-19-58. That's his prison ID number. I won't give him any. I won't recognize him by his name because it's just a thing. So 18-19-58. Was on the first floor when this deputy got to the building. So could you imagine that? He was at the door, 18-19-58 on the first floor. He starts walking up the first floor, and the deputy retreats behind the wall. That's where he goes. And then he allows 18-19-58 to go up to the third floor where he shoots my daughter 4 times down the hallway. He's covering behind the door. Downstairs, my daughter covers Kara. She crawls to the door of the classroom, covers Kara. Another almost 2 minutes go by on this third floor while this shoot, while 18-19-58 stalks down the hallway and then shoots my daughter another 5 times on that third floor, laying there, praying someone was going to come help her. But no one came that day, and she shielded Kara, and it killed my daughter and Kara, who was underneath her that day. So that's why I'm doing this. I want to expose the incompetence of that day, what this deputy did. And also it's going to be the beginning of the case for me to uncover a lot more incompetence that happened in Broward County. To make sure, I don't want this happening to another family or another school in the country. So that's what's empowering me.
You know, in the case of this deputy, Mr. Pollack, you might have heard the original claims from his lawyer that the deputy thought the shots were coming from outside. Now, he later resigned without much resistance from the local police department. But what did you make of that argument that he was confused or thought the shooting was coming from outside?
That's an outright lie, because in the investigation, they have him on the radio saying the shots are coming from the 1200 building. So he backtracked after he found out they had video. And they have him recording, talking over the radio to the other officers about the shots. What also is kind of hard to listen to, he told the other officers not to go in the building. So he also, not only does he not go in and not save my daughter and the other victims, he prevented all the sheriffs at the scene from going in the building, which is all on the radio.
You know, the thing that as I watched this yesterday, you know, one of the things when you wear a gun and you take an oath, you have to contemplate that someday you might be put in this situation and what you're going to do. And I want to play this audio, and there's a couple more minutes of it. I want to play this audio because, you know, there's innocent people that depend on people that raise their hand, that carry weapons, that take an oath. And when you're not prepared to do that, and other people pay for it, it would be fitting if when you make a mistake in these situations, just like in combat, you pay for it. What isn't right is when somebody else pays the price for your mistake. And that's why I saw this, and I'm like, good for him. Good for him in suing Broward County, in suing this deputy. And then this, to hear this, you know, the story of how his daughter's, you know, shot 9 times. Like, you got to be kidding me. So, anyway, it goes on.
So how could he live with himself, this guy, with that?
Also listed as defendants in your suit, the estate of Linda Cruz, Mr. Cruz's parents, James Sneed and Kimberly Sneed.
Yes.
They're the folks who took in Cruz. The Henderson Behavioral Health Center, the Jerome Golden Center, Behavioral Health of Southern Florida, the South County Mental Health Center. You're saying of these institutions that they all failed to police his mental whereabouts, his mental stability, right?
Sure. My main target's Peterson. If I couldn't put Peterson in this lawsuit, I wouldn't be going further. It's not about money for me. If there is any money, my ex-wife and my children are going to get it. And my daughter's boyfriend, Brandon, who I love, and she would want Brandon to get an equal share. I know what my daughter would want. So those people are in that lawsuit. I want to get his disciplinary records and his mental records.
But
so that's going to lead to
focus,
a lot more.
Right. I'm sorry, sir, but he's the principal focus because the Sneed's attorney, Jim Lewis, did talk to CNN, and they said, as far as the Sneed's are concerned, I don't think they're legally, morally, or ethically responsible for what Nicholas Cruz did. These folks basically opened their homes at the request of their son for a classmate who had lost his mother. They tried to get him some mental health counseling. They insisted that any firearms brought into the home be locked up. He's an adult. He is not their son. What do you think?
Well, evidently, they let a mental patient into their house with a rifle. And I guess it wasn't locked up because he had access to it. And we all know what happened that day, February 14th. So I don't know who in their right mind would let an individual with mental illness that you don't know their whole background, but you know he has mental illness into your house with a rifle. But they're not my focus.
You know, let me just say, he goes on and says they're not his focus. They're not culpable in this? That's like you saying, oh, well, you know, it was his hobby, and I thought it would help him cope, and so that's why we let him have, you know, the AR-15, and then when he bought all those other magazines, you know, yeah, we didn't notice it, but, you know, we just thought he was into it. You know, that's bullshit. That is such garbage. Look, and again, so if you have all these other people who are dealing with this kid, what do you think those people who took him in, what do you think they dealt with? Yeah. They dealt with all of that and then probably a gazillion times more that they haven't even disclosed. Because if people knew the truth about what they dealt with, they would drag those people through the street. He lived in your house. He did all this crazy stuff. You found all this crazy stuff on your computer. You'd see the programs he would watch. You saw the stuff he would buy, the stuff he would say around the house. And you didn't intervene? You didn't lock these weapons up and where you had the key and he didn't? It's because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to lock the weapon up from a crazy person and then give the crazy person the key. That isn't locked up.
On the lawsuit, it's mostly Deputy Peterson who didn't do his job that day and let all those people down on that third floor.
You know, since then, of course, you've worked closely with the governor to implement the first sweeping gun laws and safety laws, school safety laws, in the country in Florida. In fact, it was done very, very fast, thanks to your efforts, the governor's efforts. Part of that includes officers working at schools. And I'm wondering, are you feeling confident that this new system in place will work? It didn't work for your daughter.
Well, that's why we have this bill. So they're going to implement change. They're going to have single point entries. They're going to have there's going to be one SRO per 1,000 students. Now, they had 3,500 students at that school with one officer. So we all know from failure you shouldn't rely on one officer. Okay. So they're going to get more officers. Plus, a big part of that bill is mental illness. A lot of these behaviors that these things have can be picked out before something like this happens. All right. So those behaviors could be helped maybe at an earlier age.
All right, so, Mr. Pollack, I thank you very much, sir. We'll be following this.
The I play that because, you know, I've talked about we all as parents in communities around this country have an obligation to be involved in this. And so I play that because if you don't know what's going on in your local school district, you ought to stick your nose into somebody's business and find out. If we don't think that this could happen in our schools in this district, we're crazy. And just as his anguish comes from, why didn't we do something sooner on a national level? Why isn't there a program? In fact, today, why isn't there a program that school districts around the country are taking advantage of to hire more community resource officers? Why isn't there a federal, state, local program that involves cost sharing so that kids can go to school? And then why aren't there guidelines? Here's what we recommend. As he said, single point of entry, or maybe 2 points of entry for the school, one for kids being dropped off and one for kids from that park and walk in from the parking lot. So there's 2 points of entry. There's metal detectors, right? Just like you would if you're going to go see the Lakers play, you're going through a metal detector. Okay, and we're searching bags, and that's what we do. And if you got to get there earlier, then you got to get there earlier. So, anyway, why aren't we doing that? Answer, I don't rightly know. All right, at the 38-minute mark, we should probably say good morning and open the program. Good morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to all the people that work at Boulder Crest Retreats, both in Arizona and Virginia, to Ken Falk, Josh Goldberg, and their new book, Struggle Well, trying to get people to grow from the experience, trying to get them to help other people and live better lives, right? It doesn't need to be a disability.
We fight our country's battle in the air. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather. Currently, sun and 71 in Quantico. Uh-oh, 3 weather advisories. Small craft, we know that. That means the wind's blowing. Oh, there's 4. Small craft advisory. Air quality alert. What? Local pollen alert. And there's a second. Different times. For a second small craft advisory. So, if you're going to go out in the Chesapeake or the Potomac, you've been warned. Sunny in 74 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds in 76 in Granbury, Texas. Mostly cloudy right now. And 45 up in Big Timber, Montana. Cooled off in 29 Palms. Clouds, 49 degrees in 29 Palms. Clouds at 54 degrees at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy, dark, and 77 in Okinawa. They've got a weather warning in effect. Okinawa has interesting weather warnings. Thunderstorm advisory in effect for Okinawa right now. Marja, clear, dark, 83 degrees in the land of opium. Clouds in 55 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio. Yeah, we've been experiencing bad weather out here. Looking for a high of 65 degrees with mostly cloudy skies today. 70 and sunny tomorrow. 80 and sunny on Friday. Boom. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. Josh Goldberg, Ken Falk. The book is Struggle Well, and you're gonna hear the interview I did with them coming up here at the top of the hour. So. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. The book is entitled Struggle Well, and it is thriving in the aftermath of trauma. So trust me, stick around. You want to hear that.
Arriving at Quezon was a real experience because the plane came in hard and fast, did an immediate U-turn, never stopping, spun a U-turn at the end of the runway, and body bags were being thrown in as you tried to go out the back tailgate. And there were people waving in trenches at the very end, telling you to get over there, get over there, get over there, and you're carrying your duffel bag, and you don't really know what's going on. Why? What's the hurry? Well, then rockets started coming in.
ammo dump exploded. Man, it was, we thought it was atomic.
Our bunker was right kind of in front of the ammo dump. We was on the garbage pit side. And that first round went in. It was spooky. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
There was an explosion right in the doorway of the hooch. Slammed me against the bulkhead, the walls there. And then I knew shit was hitting the fan here. Scared the crap out of me, of course. I was all discombobulated.
Mayhem. I had wounded laying in the trench. Our own artillery rounds that were stored in the ammo dump were cooking off and shooting straight up in the air and coming down on us.
We got rounds coming from the enemy. We got rounds coming from the ammo dump.
And then the CS gas that was blown out of the dump was burning, settling into the trenches because it goes to the low ground and into the bunkers.
I just thought, oh, my God, you know, you're not going to survive this, you know. Little did I know, you know, it was going to go on for 77 days.
Bravo Common Men, Uncommon Valor is the story of Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines. It's a documentary film about the 77-day siege of Khe Sanh. It's not a pro-war or anti-war film. It's a story produced by a grunt who was there for the entire siege. It's history over the lip of a trench as told by 14 Marines and one Navy corpsman. It's award-winning. It's available right now on Amazon Prime. Watch it, review it, and share it. I say again. Watch it, review it, share it. That's an order.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.